looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Store, T-Mobile, Needham Bank, Ramesh's Auto Stores, Jordan's Furniture, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrip.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuay, Direct Federal Union, Gravely Lawnmowers, AceTicket.com, WFXT-TV, and Mohegan Sun. Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Yeah, I mean, that's, like I've said many times before, that's what we sign up for. This is what we prepare for all year. Chance to win a championship, and that's where we're at right now. So we're all excited, ready to go.
Okay, so here we go, Boston. Now just 2 hours away, about 2 hours away from the first pitch of the 2018 World Series. The Red Sox will host the Los Angeles Dodgers over at Fenway Park in just a little bit in a matchup that on paper really is dynamite. And I mean that both of the series and of game one. Chris Sale for the Red Sox, Clayton Kershaw for the Dodgers. 3 Cy Youngs for Kershaw in his career. He's been in the top 5 in the balloting 6 times. 6 times. Has finished first or second 5 times. Chris Sale has never won the Cy Young Award, but he too has been in the top 5 times in the balloting. Tonight, they go head-to-head in Game 1, Red Sox-Dodgers, 2 of the most traditional franchises in baseball. Really, some good stuff. Good stuff, and over the next 9 days potentially, we'll talk about every aspect of this series right here on the Baseball Reporters. Let's open up the phone line, 617-779-0985. Is your phone number here in the program, and just want to remind you, the Baseball Reporters World Series edition now. Presented by our friends at Budweiser. Boston, this Bud's for you. Also, thanks to our friends at MGM Springfield, who are also presenting sponsor of the program here on the Baseball Reporters during the World Series. One more time, 617-779-0985. We'll take your calls on all things regarding this series right out of the gate. Here's where I want to start. 5 days it's been since the Red Sox played a game. It feels like 50 to me. And 9 days have passed since Chris Sale last pitch in a ball game. That one probably feels more like 90. Nonetheless, both things will end tonight as the Red Sox and Dodgers begin the World Series over at Fenway Park. And I've said this consistently throughout. I'll continue to say it now. And that is that this series is not a wipeout. The Red Sox are favored, but it is not a wipeout. And I think there has been a tendency here in recent days, because of the way the Red Sox have played this postseason, particularly on the road, I think there was a tendency to look at this series and view it, as the saying goes, as a coronation more than it is a competition. And I'm telling you that it's a competition. The Dodgers are legit. The Red Sox won 108 games this year. The Dodgers won 92. If you were to look at those two totals, you would say Red Sox in a landslide. If you would look at the way the Red Sox played in this postseason, you would say Red Sox in a landslide. But we all know it doesn't work that way. You start over, and you got to win 4. You've got to win 4, and you are going to get the best of the Dodgers here. And an interesting stat came up here late in the Baseball Reporters, or rather late in the Felger and Maz show, that I think is worthy of mentioning in the Baseball Reporters. If you go by run differential this year in Major League Baseball, the top 6 teams in the game in run differential were, in order, Houston, Boston, the Dodgers, the Yankees, the Indians, and the Astros. Okay? I'm sorry, the Indians and the Athletics. Oakland. Oakland is the 6 teams. 5 of those teams are in the American League playoffs. 1 was in the National League, and that was L.A. And the point being here is that if you regard the AL field to be superior this year, you're right. It was. And based on that metric alone, and run differential is a big one for the sabermetricians. I used to argue with Jared Carabas about this all the time on Barstool, like run differential, the be-all and end-all. And yet, if you were to look at it historically, it does have some validity. But the one National League team that belonged in the conversation with those other clubs was the Dodgers. The Dodgers were a plus 194 in run differential. They were third best in baseball. They scored 800 runs. They allowed 610. If you look at, for example, runs scored this season in the game, the Dodgers were 5th, most in the National League. If you were to look at runs allowed, going from fewest to most. The Dodgers were second best. Only Houston was better. So only Houston pitched better than the Dodgers this year, and no team in the National League hit better than the Dodgers this year. And their numbers put them on par or on pace with what the Red Sox did over the course of a season. So this is my long way of telling you, you're in for a series. And if you think there's no way the Red Sox lose this series, I don't know what to tell you. I disagree with you. I'm not telling you they will lose, because honestly, I wouldn't bet this series if my life depended on it. I wouldn't touch it. Because I think the games are going to be close. I think they're going to be competitive. You may get a blowout in there, here or there, on either side. But for the most part, I think you're going to get tight games. Because I think that's how the Dodgers are going to play with that pitching staff. Again, 617-779-0985. There was a little news out of Fenway Park today, and I want to touch on that, and then we'll get to your calls in the next segment, especially and maybe even at the end of this one if we have time. First, surprising move on the pitching staff, Drew Pomeranz added to the playoff roster in place of Brandon Workman. I'm not surprised. We talked about this last night on the Baseball Reporters. The Red Sox don't really have a lefty in the bullpen. And between Eduardo Rodriguez and Drew Pomeranz, they want one of those guys to emerge to be able to get a big out in a big spot. Okay, I still think there's a chance David Price is the guy that comes out of the bullpen to get that out in games 3 and 4. Nonetheless, Alex Cora was asked just a little while ago over at Fenway Park about the decision to add Pomeranz in place of Workman. Here's what he said.
I do believe that Eddie and Drew, at one point in this series, they're going to have to get one of those lefties out or one of those righties with reverse splits out. He'll be ready for it. He's been doing an outstanding job the last 2 weeks, working on mechanics, actually his velocity. I know it wasn't in a game, but velocity's up. 93, we've been looking for that the whole season, and when that velocity is up, then the other pitches come into play, and we do feel that his mix is going to be a good one against them.
Now, I don't know about the rest of you. Drew Pomeranz in a playoff game scares the crap out of me. As Jim Murray has been saying here today, there wasn't a guy on the Red Sox this year that was worse than Drew Pomeranz, pitcher or hitter. He was easily the worst player on the team this year. At least among guys who spent any sort of significant time on the active roster. Drew Pomeranz was terrible. And I don't need to remind you what happened the last time he was in the postseason, but we'll refresh your memory in a little bit, in case you've forgotten. So now, and if you want to start talking about the deficiencies in the Red Sox bullpen, this is one of them. No real lefty reliever out there, and now you're going against a team where you need it. Maybe you didn't need it against the Astros, who were mostly right-handed. Maybe you didn't need it against the Yankees, who were mostly right-handed. You need it now. And so this is the way, this is the Red Sox way to try to combat that. And the mere fact that Pomeranz is on this roster should tell you that the Red Sox are worried about those left-handed hitters in the Los Angeles lineup.
Now, it's been obvious that, you know, Alex Cora, every button that he's pushed, every lever that he's pulled has worked out. This one, you know, you can debate whether or not he is deciding this or it's the analytics nerds that, you know, want Drew Pomeranz on the World Series roster. But why him and not Bobby Pointer if it's just about having a lefty?
Okay, so I think, Murray, that that part of it has to do with velocity. In other words, Pomeranz throws harder than Pointer does, and if you're going to have a lefty who's questionable either way, you take the one that throws harder. That'd be my guess. We'll see how it goes. You heard Cora say there they think Pomeranz's velocity has ticked up a little bit. I don't know if that's true or that's bullcrap. What I will tell you, though, is that a couple of years ago when they brought him out of the bullpen, he was throwing 95, 96. And a lot of times when you take a starter and you stick him in the bullpen, now he feels like he can air it out. Now you're going to get better velocity just by the mere fact that he's in the game for a shorter period of time. So we'll see. We'll see. I'm not holding my breath. I don't want to see Drew Pomeranz on that mound, but it's not a small move by the Red Sox.
To back up Murray's point,
yeah, go
if
ahead,
you
Jim.
Want a strike thrower, three walks for Bobby Pointer this year in 20 appearances. Three walks, 24 strikeouts.
And what about Pomeranz?
He has...
got to be way higher.
44 walks in 74 innings.
Okay, that's like 5 walks per 9. I mean, that's an astronomical number.
So Pointer was the right choice, Jim Murray.
So he might be. I mean, you might be right. I'm trying to tell you what I think the Red Sox logic is. So I'll tell you what, we'll take a couple of calls here, and then I'll get to the lineup decision that I think is interesting and tells you a lot. Scott is in Medford. Scott, go ahead.
I just want to say that I don't understand how nobody knows what Kershaw can do. Like you said, you gave all the stats about the 6 years, being the top in the Cy Young Award and winning Cy Young Awards. He scares the bejesus out of me. I'll tell you right now, I don't know. I can see him against Jackie Bradley just swinging left and right, just keep on swinging. I mean, he's the key to it. One game's 1-4-7, he'll pitch him.
Yes.
I can't picture why everybody just throws this guy under the bus. I mean, he's one of the best pitchers in baseball.
Scott, he's one of the best pitchers in history. He's one of the best pitchers in history. He just hasn't won a world championship yet. But again, in his last 9 postseason appearances, his ERA is under 3, 2.96, and opponents are batting 170 against him. And in all honesty, I don't think people are underestimating Kershaw. I think people know how good Kershaw is. It's the rest of the Dodgers they don't know about. And so you're going to get an education on the Dodgers in this series. Remember, it's a high payroll team. It's a big market. They have a deep bench. They have a deep staff. And they have a manager that, in Dave Roberts, that frankly overmanages the game. But from that standpoint, he's not going to let them get into bad matchups, I don't think. You're going to get a lot of Dave Roberts in this series, more than you can possibly fathom. And I'm willing to bet that by the end of it, you're going to hate him. Okay? I don't care what base he stole in 2004. By the end of this, I think you are going to be so sick of Dave Roberts, he's going to be coming out of every orifice in your body. Because I find the guy to be arrogant and smug at times. But that's a different discussion for a different day. Again, interesting lineup decision by the Red Sox. We'll tell you what that is, and we'll remind you of Drew Pomeranz's postseason history when we come back.
Boston's most comprehensive discussion of everything baseball. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here's the thing I find most amazing. Baseball gets caught up.
You don't quit on your team.
When you want to win, play through anything.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5. Sports Hub.
Pass, and now in the air, left field. That is hit well, got some carry to it. That's going to fly, and this one is gone! Rafael Devers, a 3-run blast! It is 4-0 Boston. And the Crawford boxes come into play as Devers goes deep. Second Boston home run. What a moment for Devers. He saw a lot of fastballs in his last at-bat, struck out on one, down on the knees, and first pitch fastball hitting here, he didn't miss it. Drops it in the boxes.
So interesting lineup tonight by Alex Cora with regard to who he'll send out there against Clayton Kershaw. Rafael Devers starting at third base for the Red Sox. He is batting 6th behind Xander Bogaerts and ahead of Ian Kinsler against Kershaw, the left-hander. Devers obviously bats left-handed. And I thought this is noteworthy because Cora indicated the other day he'd go with his right-handed lineup, meaning the one he uses against left-handed pitching. Typically that has been, or at least it has been through the postseason here, Kinsler at second base, Nunez at third, and he has flipped it here, at least at third. Kinsler's in there. Holt is not playing. Kinsler is playing second base against Kershaw. But Devers is in there at third over Nunez. Before I get to the particulars, I'm going to get back to your calls here in 1 second. Jim Murray and Jimmy Stewart, just quickly, if you would, let me ask you about Rafael Devers starting against Clayton Kershaw. Left on left, do you like it or do you not like it?
I think he's a better alternative than Eduardo Nunez, just because he's been swinging a hot bat, so I have no problem with it.
Jimmy?
I love the matchup because Devers can run into one like he did here, hit it out of the ballpark, and put you in a position to take a lead or tie the game.
Okay, so I also like it. I do. I also like it. I think Devers is the better player. And Kershaw's not your classic, you know, first of all, I think lefties actually hit a little bit better than righties, but he's tough on everybody, right? He's tough on everybody. If the numbers were so overwhelming, you know, if in other words, lefties hit 100 against him and righties hit 170, I would say, okay, that's a big difference. I'll take the 170. In this case, there's not much of a difference. Devers has more power. It feels to me like he's steadying defensively, and now that I said that, he'll chuck one into right field. We all know how that goes. But I will say about Devers, and this, I don't know if this will surprise people or not. Do you guys know what his career average in the postseason is?
Oh, it's got to be like 460-something, right?
355, okay. Murray.
All right. I shot too high, but no, I knew it was damn good.
No, but you're on the right track.
Yeah.
I mean, regardless of, you know, you nailed it. He's been unbelievable.
He was one of the lone bright spots last year in the one game that they won against Houston, that series.
He has now played in 10 postseason games, Rafael Devers has. He's 11 for 31, which is a 355 average. He has 3 homers and 12 RBI. 12 RBI in 10 games. with an OPS over 1,000. He's walked four times. So his on base is almost 420. It's 417. And he has not looked like a kid who's intimidated by the stage. And this is a guy who, when he's right, will hit good pitching. Remember that he homered against Aroldis Chapman in New York last year in the regular season. So I like what we've seen from Devers. I'm glad the Red Sox made this decision. And I think it tells you a lot about how they regard Devers now versus how they were looking at him in the regular season, when at one time we wondered whether Devers was going to be on the roster at all.
Tony, how does Kershaw pitch left-handed hitters? And the reason why I ask is because Devers can go the other way probably better than any other left-handed hitter in the Red Sox lineup, maybe other than Benintendi. So maybe it's the way that Kershaw pitches to left-handers. They're hoping that Devers hits one off the wall and gets a double.
So, Jimmy, my guess is that what you're going to see is Kershaw's one of these rare guys who can throw, I shouldn't say rare guys, but rare in that he will use both with frequency, slider and a curveball. Most guys rely on one breaking ball more than another. Kershaw, I think, will use his slider against lefties and his curveball against righties, right? So what Devers has to watch for is sliders down and away, because Kershaw is going to get to try him, going to try to get him to chase, and also the fastball away. He'll try to run it away from him, you know, use that angle and get him out that way. So let's we'll get right back to your calls here, because obviously there's a great deal to get to with regard to this series. Dickie's in Braintree. Go ahead, Dickie.
Hey, Maz, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, I think, well, first off, I hope we see something as magnificent as Brock Holt's hitting cycle tonight or sometime this series. I also think that behind the emotion of the World Series, Chris Sale will come out with the win. I'm going Sox in five. I'm going to put my kids' college fund on it. Mark it down, Mazzy.
Okay, Dickie. No, I'm glad you have the faith in him that, you know, look, I just think you're going to get a series. And you might be right. You know, I hope your kids want to go to a good school and you hit it big, pal. But what I would tell you with regard to Sale is, and I touched on this last night, Sale, to me, I don't know how much you're going to get beyond game one. He's had 9 days to rest for this one, and with a bad shoulder, that'll help. Okay, that'll help. A lot of times the extra days off can hurt you. I think at this time of the year, particularly with a guy who's banged up, it'll help. After this game, will he be able to pitch game five? I have no idea. Will he be able to pitch out of the bullpen again as he did in the New York series? I have no idea. I doubt it. But my point is this. The Sale you see later in the series is likely to be worse than the Sale you see tonight, and I think the Red Sox know that, and I think that they will manage accordingly. Sully's in Charlestown. Go ahead.
Tony, how are you?
Good.
Listen, I don't know why we have given ourselves a popsicle headache as far as, you know, what to do in the National League ballparks. Why not put J.D. Martinez at first, keep the outfield intact based on the fact that it's a larger outfield? You probably want our defensive responsibilities out there with the three guys you can count on. And refresh my memory, Tony, right? In 04, 07, and 13, who was our first baseman in the National League games?
I'm pretty sure it was David Ortiz.
So you're trying to tell me husky, fat David Ortiz can play a better first base than J.D. Martinez? If that is the case, then that just is an indictment on J.D. Martinez being unathletic and a stiff, and I don't trust him in right field if that's the case in Dodger Stadium. I'm going to hang up. Thanks, Tony.
Okay, so Sully, what I would tell you is that David Ortiz played first base in the minors and actually at one point was Defensive Player of the Year in the minor leagues, if you can believe that. So he had had some experience at first base. J.D. Martinez in the big leagues has never played first base. Okay, now again, could he do it? I would say yes. Will he do it eventually? I would say yes. I think that someday they're going to move him there. Is it going to happen now? No, I highly doubt it. Okay, I keep putting this off, but I want to turn back the clock a little bit too, just because I talked to you about Devers' postseason history and how he's performed in October, and I think, really, Devers has been sensational in October. For a guy that young, sensational. So, not everybody has that history, though, and I'm not talking about Kershaw. We're going to refresh your memory a little bit on something that happened a couple of Octobers ago with this Red Sox team. We'll do that after Murray gets you caught up on headlines.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. From the field.
You're the one who threw the pitch.
To the clubhouse.
You're a reliever short.
To the corner office.
That sends all the wrong messages.
We have the Sox covered.
Because that's the way I look at it.
The Baseball Reporters on 98.5, the Sports Hub. The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I don't know. As a team, we don't do too much damage. You know, we put the ball in play and we get our hits against lefties, but we didn't hit the ball out of the ballpark. And when he got here, he helped us out to do that. I don't know how many home runs JD has against lefties. Not too many, I guess. And Xander the same way. But they keep putting quality at bats. But as soon as Piercy got here, we start doing that and hitting for extra base hits against lefties. And he's been great.
It's Alex Cora on Steve Pierce, who's batting third tonight, playing first base against Clayton Kershaw. Much has been made so far about the Red Sox and Dodgers, for that matter, their inability to hit left-handed pitching this year. Both of them ranked in the middle of the pack in Major League Baseball in OPS against left-handed pitching. And the fact is, this is why the Red Sox went out and got Steve Pierce. And we all forget, right? We forget that one of the really big blows in the Astros series was Pierce's home run. It kind of got lost in the shuffle there a little bit. But Pierce's home run against Joe Smith was a big home run. That put the Red Sox back up 3-2 in that game, if I remember right. That was game four. So, look, they all run together after a while. But Pierce, dangerous against left-handed pitching. Sneaky good pickup by the Red Sox during the year. I said that at the time, by the way. And as a guy you should keep an eye on in this series, because the Dodgers are going to throw a lot of lefties at you. Only one right-handed starter. That's Buehler in game three, which means in five of the first six games, Steve Pierce should be in that starting lineup. Okay, Willie's in the car. Willie, what do you got, pal?
Hey, what's up? Hey, I'm surprised no one's brought this up. Mookie Betts came up through high school and was given scholarships playing second base. I mean, that's how he got found, and that's how the Red Sox drafted him. And if it wasn't for Dustin Pedroia, he'd probably be playing second base right now.
I don't know if Willie's being a wise ass. It's been talked about ad nauseum, and I don't think the Red Sox are going to do it. So Cora said today, unlikely. I think that was a term he used. It was unlikely that Betts would play second base. And Kenny Rosenthal in a story this morning indicated it wasn't going to happen. We talked about that all day yesterday. David's in Salem. David, go.
Hey, man. So just wondering how big of the home field advantage fatigue will factor into the series. And Dodge has been traveling since last week, including seven-game series, and that includes that 13-innings game until 2:30 in the morning. Thanks.
So, David, look, it's an interesting question. Like, does the travel hurt the Dodgers? They've been moving around a lot, going coast to coast. I mean, they've gone west to central, now to east. Kershaw pitched on Saturday night in relief, albeit in a one-sided game. Now he's out here again to start. Does it add up? Maybe. I tend to think, though, that when you get to these games, particularly at the beginning, the adrenaline rush is so high and so great that fatigue is not a factor, particularly at the beginning. Now, later in the series, could you see guys get worn out and maybe not be able to throw strikes and all of that? Absolutely. I think you could see some of that on both sides, though, not just the Red Sox. And remember, you got a cross-country flight here coming up for Boston in the, after game two. So now the Dodgers will be going home, but, you know, the Red Sox generally have had a pretty cozy postseason here in terms of the wear and tear, right? Four games in the first round, five games in the second. The first trip was to New York,
right,
for crying out loud. That doesn't even count.
You could drive there, and then the Houston flight's really not all that bad. But the trip to L.A., I mean, that could put some mileage on you.
So if you were to ask me which team is more rested, it's the Red Sox.
Oh, without question.
So look, I will take any little advantage or benefit that you can get. In the same breath, I'll tell you that of the nine games the Red Sox have played in the postseason, the four worst have been in Boston. Easily the four worst. The five best games they've played have been on the road. Now, I don't know what it is about this ballpark. Maybe they're feeling pressure when they're at home. I have no idea. Maybe it's just that Sale hasn't been himself, and he's two of the game ones. So I have no clue, but I'm telling you, they have not played well in this ballpark in the postseason. Let's not forget that either going into tonight. Jay's in Providence. Jay, what do you got?
Yeah, I got a question and a mini storyline. The question is, in the World Series, has there ever been such a discrepancy in wins because the Red Sox were 108, the Dodgers were 92? I was trying to Google it and find 16-game difference. I don't know if there was a bigger one. And the mini storyline, tomorrow is Devers' birthday. Hopefully he'll get the start, and that'll lead him to something.
So, Jay, look, I mean, off the top of my head, the New York Yankees in 98 won 114 games, and I think the Padres won 98. I mean, someone would have to look that up. But that is similar. I mean, the Yankees were a wagon that year, and they were, you know, at that stage on the verge of winning three titles in four titles in 5 years. So maybe, you know, in 2006, the Tigers had 96 wins. The Cardinals had 83. That's 13. I mean, that's just off the top of my head, but I haven't spent a lot of time on that because, honestly, I don't think it means anything. I think the Dodgers are better than a 92-win team, and I don't think you're a 108-win team. And if you believe in that whole Pythagorean theorem nonsense, or Pythagorean record that they do on Baseball Reference, the Dodgers and Red Sox were basically even during the regular season. Pat's in Londonderry. Go ahead, Pat.
Hey, Pat. I mean, Tony, what's going on, buddy? I heard earlier today that Kershaw's been battling some injury throughout the year and that his velocity has been down and he's been relying more on his stuff, specifically his curve. I don't know if he's going to be able to go the distance just relying on his curve tonight. What's your take on that?
So, Pat, what I would tell you is that most everybody is throwing off speed in this postseason. Whether they have, I mean, the guys who have the real gas, I guess, are throwing gas. But look at the way Rick Porcello pitched and I'm not saying he's a velocity guy, but when Porcello faced the Astros, he threw all breaking stuff. And so the point is that the breaking stuff is harder to hit. These guys hunt fastballs, and they hit fastballs, so no, they're not going to get fastballs either way. And I would tell you that with Kershaw, I don't think it really matters that much. It does. It matters. He's not as dominant as he used to be, but he's still pretty damn good. And he's going to throw 91, 92 miles an hour now instead of 96. So you're not going to see it. But the curveball is still devastating. He'll still hit a spot. He can still throw a slider, all of that stuff. So you're going to get a good mix, and he's going to be hard to hit. Okay, he's still one of the elite pitchers in the game. Now, but people want to use the same argument for Sale. I think Sale is more velocity dependent than Kershaw is, just my two cents. But really, if you go back to Sale and Jimmy Stewart, our producer, actually, this is a Cora comment about Sale in the system. The Cora was asked about Sale prior to tonight's game, that about Sale's difficulties in the Houston series and what he looked like and what he expects from Sale in terms of velocity. And Sale also, or rather Cora also discounted that, the velocity part of it, at least a little bit.
Control command, that's what's important. We're getting caught up on velocity with David, with Chris, and I do feel that against Houston, he didn't have his slider, and he was a one-pitch guy on the mound, and it was fastball, glove side to righties, and he survived for four, I think it was. He actually found his slider in the last hitter of the third inning and then in the fourth inning, but at that point, I had to make a decision, and we took him out of the game. But for me, it's about command with them. David, he showed it right away against the Astros, and looking forward, you know, expecting that from Chris tonight.
So, look, this is a cliche. They say command is everything. It's not. It's a big part of it. Your ability to spot pitches is huge, particularly against good hitters. Nonetheless, if you throw a fastball at 91 on a corner versus one that's 98 on a corner, the 91's easier to hit. Okay, so the idea of dismissing velocity entirely, to me, is silly. But ultimately, if Chris Sale hits his spots and can bury a slider inside the right-handed batters, he's going to be fine. Peter's in Saugus. Go ahead, Peter.
My thing is the big hitters were not really hitting that well in the divisional round and the championship round, and it was really the role players carrying them through. So my question to you is, do you think that the same can be true for the World Series? Do you think that the role players can win the Red Sox the series? And if you do think so, which one do you think is going to be the most important? And finally, I think the Red Sox are going to be going to win in seven games. I think it's going to be harder than most people are making it out to be, but I think seven games is what it is. Thank you very much.
Okay, so look, I think the thing's going six or seven, but with regard to the role players, sure. Absolutely. I mean, oftentimes you see guys kind of pop out of the woodwork and win big games at this time of year. I think you've seen it throughout the playoffs here consistently with the Red Sox. Now, at some point, I've got to believe that J.D. Martinez is going to bust out. At some point, the guy's just going to go bananas. Last year, he had a four-homer game against the Dodgers in L.A. So I'd like to think that somewhere along the line, the money men on the Red Sox are going to come through and come through in a big way. And it started to happen at the end of last series a little bit, right? Obviously, J.D. Martinez hit the home run against Verlander to put you up 1-0, and Price was brilliant for six innings. So usually good players have a few bad games and then get rolling again. So let's see if that happens with Martinez. Let's see if it happens with Betts. Even Bogarts, I think, can give you a hell of a lot more. And not to mention the guys at the front end of the rotation. Fran's in Clinton. Go ahead, Fran.
Hey, Maz, Big Jim. Hey, I haven't heard anyone bring this up yet, but with the cold weather in Boston tonight and tomorrow, if the Dodgers knock Price out in the second inning, what are the odds out of Vegas that he brings up his frozen finger disease?
So, Fran, look, it crossed my mind about Price tomorrow night. It's going to be a tough night out there. You know, early in the year when he had the problem, do you remember what he said? This could have been the World Series. Okay, that's what he said. He might have even said game one of the World Series. This could have been game one of the World Series.
Yeah, not everything is fixed with a guy just because he had a dominant start in game five against Houston and kind of killed the postseason can't win narrative. That's still a concern. I mean, if you the bigger body of work is that he had failed time and again in the postseason. He's bitched about cold weather, and it's supposed to be in the high 30s tomorrow. Like, I don't know. You'd still be crazy not to be a little bit concerned about that going into that game.
I'd be worried about just about every pitcher, if you want to know the truth.
Well, same for Kershaw tonight.
Bingo. And the Midday Show had this stat on during the day, or they found this stat. Kershaw only once in his career has pitched in weather lower than 50 degrees. So tonight, I haven't even looked. What is it, in the 40s tonight?
Yeah, but right now, they're basically battening down the hatches, and anyone that's in the park, they're telling them to, like, you know, duck and cover because it's massive thunderstorms right now. So I don't know if the Dodgers have ever really dealt with any kind of weather like this where it's going to be, like, you know, looking like it's a tornado going to upper 40s in a matter of an hour and a half.
Yeah, so look, I don't know what's going on over there either. I mean, I've been inside here with you all day. But to me, weather-wise, Kershaw in cold weather, I would worry about that. I mean, again, he pitches in L.A. How tough can the conditions be?
Yeah, and what the hell was it in Milwaukee on game one? Because he only lasted about four innings in that game, the NLCS. Too,
right, and indoors.
Yeah.
But indoors in Milwaukee. So, you know, the cold weather thing, though, like, some guys just can't hack it. Some guys can't. I mean, I think that part of it is real. Let me squeeze in one more here quickly because I don't know what his ultimate agenda is, but I'm curious. Lefties in Swampscott. Lefty, go ahead.
Hey, Tony, how are you? Tell me your nomenclature. I just hope the announcer tonight, and you too, don't call it a break and put the slider. You know, this. You're looking at...
Don't call... All right, forget it. I was trying to get him to stop. Don't call a what? A slider? A breaking pitch?
Yeah.
I have no idea what he's saying.
I could barely hear him as far.
Look, sometimes they're hard to distinguish. Cutters and sliders can look alike. I don't know if that's what your point is. We all get some wrong. I mean, usually you go by the velocity. And the movement, obviously, an indication too, but usually the velocity will tell you. Curveballs are slower than sliders. Changeups are usually, or can be often faster than curves, but oftentimes curves and changeups are the same velocity. And if a guy doesn't throw a good one, it can be deceiving. Okay, it can be deceiving.
The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz, 98.